Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In an election that will determine the fate of the entire universe, there's only one podcast holding politicians accountable. Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese. Who will lose? Find out on The Chaser Report, Election Edition.
Hello and welcome to the Election Wrap Edition of The Chaser Report. It is Monday the 23rd of May, 2 days after female voters and female candidates stormed into Canberra, turfing out the Morrison government. And here at the Chaser Report, what better way to mark the occasion when women stood up and took back power in this nation by gathering around the podcast table Charles Firth, Chris Taylor, Craig Rucastle, Chaz Lucidello, Andrew Hanson, and me, Dom Knight. Six men! What a celebration, gentlemen.
Yeah. Sucked in, Scott Morrison. You're not the only one with a tin ear.
Well, if the Libs can be six men, then we can be six men. What the Libs are now.
Did anyone watch the election? Did anyone like it?
Yes, I watched it, but I watched it with Charles. So my view of what was going on was very skewed by his emotional roller coaster on the night.
Yes, it's interesting because my son texted me saying, can you thank Charles and tell him to keep tweeting, because my son was out. And he said, I'm following the election coverage based on Charles's tweets. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. It's kind of like, Charles is kind of like the Anthony Green, except that he's drunk and has no data.
No. Well, the thing is, I take an emotional approach to election numbers. So yes, they come in, you see a number, and you emotionally react to it, and you tweet out about it.
Well, this is it. I mean, I've got your tweets, and we should maybe analyse how good Charles is as an election analyst based on his tweets in the night. Right. He started at about pretty much 6 o'clock. Nothing's been counted there. Yeah. Three votes have come in,
but he's still emotional already.
His emotions begin the moment the polls close.
We've got in the booth of Norfolk Island, and he's like, I have a terrible feeling. So he's already called it early. Terrible feeling.
Who's voting in Norfolk Island? Is it cows just voting?
Conservative cows, according to the results.
What was your terrible feeling, Charles?
Was your terrible feeling about the election or about your life?
Well, of course, you know, as an impartial observer to this election, the terrible feeling wasn't that the Libs were polling very well in Bass and Bredon. It was basically the rural seats in Bass and Bredon that were coming in at that point.
There was one booth in Tassie, the most rural booth and the most rural electorate in the most rural state, and Charles is going, oh, shit, this is
awesome. And Bredon actually ended up swinging, I think, about 13% to the Libs. It was the only seat in the country that had a big swing.
Bredon and Bass, and it was almost like election night was produced like a reality show. You know where there's always Mr. X?
Yes.
Where you think one contestant's going, but it's sort of, oh, they've pulled the wool over our eyes and it's just a red herring. It was almost whoever came up with the decision to call Bradden and Bass first, just to make it a little bit tense for the Labor fans or Greens fans watching. I thought it made the night almost interesting.
I know, I know. They were so many misdirects. I mean, the Channel 10 advertising for their show, I thought Julie Goodwin was going to go home at the election.
But also, there was a moment there when everyone was absolutely certain that Peter Dutton was going to lose.
And we'll get to that. Hang on, let's get to Charles's analysis.
And he may yet still lose by winning the leadership of the Liberals.
That's right. That'll do. Okay, so we're going.
So Charles has gone
tweets.
From "I have a terrible feeling" to "Fuck, Labor's not looking good." So he's called it early. Labor's losing this one.
How did he spell "fark"?
FARK.
Triple A rating. Triple A fark.
Fuck.
So far not too good. Then he looks like Zimmerman, Sharma, Falinski, Wilson are all in terrible trouble. Greens on track to pick up 2 to 3 extra lower house seats. This is an incredible election. Charles Firth, look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
That was correct.
That was really early on.
One from three.
Yeah.
So far.
So what? Well, that was partly because one of my friends rang me and said that my previous tweets had made her mum so anxious that she was unable to come to the party. And could I tweet something a bit more positive?
Whose mum is getting their election results from your tweets?
Four
mainstream television networks all covering the Sky as well. On who chooses the Firth option on election night?
Very conversation: Craig's son and a friend's mother.
Yeah. Well, my follow-up question is: why is Charles being heralded as some kind of genius when his tweet basically repeated what every other election coverage had already called at that point?
No, that is not this true.
This is still Norfolk Island time.
6:30 time.
6:30. Yeah.
Okay. No, this is Charles ahead of Charles. Then next tweet was: this is the greatest night in Australian history because he's got Peter Dutton losing to Ali France. Mm. I don't know what, they're about 12 votes counted at this point.
But didn't the ABC, I certainly heard the ABC had called it at one point.
Channel 9 and ABC had both called Dutton losing Dixon. So again, Charles has repeated information from mainstream sources. But we all had that roller coaster. I was almost prepared to give ScoMo the election if Dutton lost. That was my ideal scenario.
Do you know what was amazing? When it looked like Dutton and Frydenberg were going, we sat there and looked at the front bench of the Liberal Party.
Yes, same.
It's fucking amazing. Yes. It is so bereft of talent.
Yeah.
Birmingham's in the Senate, so he couldn't
can't
do it. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, I think even today I saw Bridget Archer being touted as a genuine deputy leader. And I've always had a bit of time for her. She was the one that stood up to the party
on
transgender issues and religious discrimination. So in a way, that's the moderate voice they might need. But 4 days ago, would anyone have been talking about Bridget Archer's leadership material?
Well, I was looking for a potato in the kitchen, so I could sort of take a photo of put out your potatoes and try again. But before I could even find a potato, they didn't have something growing out of it.
What was the great problem? They didn't run a teal against Dutton. They only had the Labour, Ali France is her name?
Yep.
If you'd tealed against Dutton...
Or green.
Wasn't the lesson of Saturday just put a teal against everyone you hate?
I should say, I'm really loving at the moment, right now, I'm loving the education campaign going on amongst the Liberals about who are the other Liberals, because the candidates they're touting to run against Peter Dutton are all people I've never heard of, like Karen Andrews. Who the hell is that? And so it's a really good education campaign to learn about all these Liberals you didn't know existed.
Hang on. I think Kevin Andrews should come back.
Yeah, well, Karen Andrews sounds like a reboot of Kevin Andrews.
Has Kevin Andrews transitioned? No one noticed. He was the trans candidate.
Catherine Davis would have been very upset about that. We'll get to her.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The only podcast without UAP ads. The Chaser Report.
Charles Firth then, next call. And again, this is one he got right. He got it right. I guess we should assess his professionalism as a commentator. Would this have been what Anthony Gree would have said? Christina Keneally behind, showing that she's behind in Fowler. And Charles's analysis is, ha 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 ha.
I think Anthony said that with his eyes, didn't he?
Yeah, I think the whole of Australia, that was just reflecting a generalised mood, the general will.
Was it revealing, though, how much journalists hate Christina Keneally but love Josh Frydenberg? The fact they were both losing at the same time and the separate reactions on the coverage. Basically, you needed... they need to have a lifeline for journalists about Josh Frydenberg losing. They're all crying and comforting each other. Even the Labor people were patting each other on their head and go, oh, no, Josh, we love Josh so much. And then Christina Keneally, they go to her and like, oh, yeah, champagne corks popping. It was a real – if I was Christina Keneally, I would not have enjoyed the coverage on Saturday night.
What's your theory on that, Chaz? Because is it just because she was not local and parachuted in, or did people not really like Keneally before that happened? I always thought she was quite good as a parliamentary performer.
I've met her, and I think if you meet her, then you probably wouldn't end up voting for her. She's a horrible person.
Charles Firth calls it early.
Yeah, she's just a horrible, now, I just horrible like
say,
person.
I just want to say, because given we are going through Charles's tweets right now, if you are Christina Keneally or her lawyers listening to this, remember that that probably means you're a really lovely person.
And then in 10 minutes, Charles will say, honestly, I think Christina Keneally is the Prime Minister we should have had.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, that all is, I mean, know is I'm not getting Charles to do my eulogy. That's all I know.
Well, this is it. I mean, there was, if you go through Charles's tweets, you can find everything. He says, I'm calling it. It's going to end up being a Labour minority government. A few minutes later, actually, I think Labour might be slight majority.
The poor mum. I'm feeling for the mum at this point, who's still reading Charles's tweets.
Well, yes, that friend never came.
Yeah, she never came because I kept on tweeting things back and forth.
But I was sitting next to Charles, watching what he was doing, his method, and he had a notes app, right, and he just kept adding seats and taking seats out. Based on, I don't quite know what.
Oh, look, I think that's what Anthony Green does.
What was your source, Chuck? Were you just watching one of the main networks? Or you, no, do you have phones out with contacts?
Yeah, no, I was looking. No, no, I was just looking at the AEC results.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So, because actually the TV is always about 15 minutes behind the results coming, the data. Mm. And so you can just appear like, you know, you've got inside word.
Mm. Yes. Is that how you appeared?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, such as this. I mean, this analysis. Damn, looks like Dutton might squeak home on the preferences of the various Nazi parties.
Well, actually, that, to be fair, that was Andrew's call, I think, on Tuesday of last week. Was it there were, did you say 28 Nazi parties running? Andrew, how did you feel about the Nazi performance last night, on Saturday
night?
Yeah,
I was a little disappointed not to see any of the Nazis getting up. I thought there were so many of them on my ballot paper. I mean, it was just seriously an enormous number. And I had to search. It's like finding a needle in a haystack to find the actual Liberal and Labour parties on this enormous piece of paper full of nutters. So it was just surprising that none of them seemed to prevail.
It is interesting voting, isn't it? Like, you get there having, you know, whether you've followed the campaign or not, but assume most people listening to this podcast probably have a level of engagement. Mm. You finally get into that little cardboard booth with your pencil and you realise you don't know most of the people running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, not even the parties.
You've got it. There's a minimum of six, I think, you need to vote. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. After about three, I was done. Pirate party? And I think the reason, like, legalised cannabis has a chance of picking up a Senate seat
is clear.
Well, it's a literal party name. And I think, and there was another one called Federal ICAC Now Party. Mm. So you kind of knew where they stood. Oh, then there's ones like Chris. Reason or Free. And you go, I don't really know what they stand for. So, you know,
Reason used to be called the sex party. Everyone knew exactly what they were all about. Sex. Mm. We were broadly pro-sex, but Reason, it's a much worse brand.
Well, I don't know about the Federal ICAC Now Party. I don't think I ended up voting for that because
I think they're a front.
Because it was like, well, I bet you they're not in favour of the Federal ICAC.
That's what you start
the same
to wonder.
Charles, but the Legalised Cannabis Party, they're against legalising cannabis. I just don't know what these people are for.
What about those acronym parties? Like, wasn't there TIL?
No, TNL. So, I mean,
like,
and
like,
I looked
who
it up.
They support letters?
It's the new TNL is the new company. Liberals. They were called the New Liberals, but then the AEC said they couldn't be called the New Liberals. So they're basically what the Liberals would be like if Malcolm Turnbull still ran them. So it would have been actually quite popular in the teal seats. But
so
no one
was
knew
Malcolm Turnbull in every seat.
I think so.
I reckon, though, we need to change the electoral rules to have every party has to have a literal name. So, like, if we've learned nothing else from legalised cannabis, it's that, oh, people who aren't really engaged, because, oh, that sounds cool, I'll vote for them. So if, like, the Labour Party weren't called Labour Party, but Soft Approach to Climate Action.
Yes.
You know, like everyone was forced to actually literalise their policy position to make it more easy for punters like us to know who to vote.
Yeah. But then there'll be a lot of parties called just in it for the superannuation party.
So also the Liberal Party's just purged all the Liberals who are actually in the party. Yeah. So.
And also, wouldn't One Nation have a problem with the Liberal Party? Because the Liberal Party would be called the One Nation Party now.
Yeah, well, what would the... Or the Liberal Party literal name would be, let's keep the Bilalaya family locked up in a Perth detention centre for as long as possible party. And they'd get a couple of votes maybe, but the rest of us would know where they stand on that issue.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. So, Charles, what do we think of Charles as a political analyst?
Did he actually end up with it? Like, what was his summary?
His
of the
final
night?
Summary. I think he's gone. I think he's kind of right in the fact that he says, basically, it'll probably be a majority because of Western Australia. And he also says, on the plus side, if Dutton retains his seat, he'll be in Canberra a lot, which will make it easier for him to attend federal ICAC hearings. You called that right.
Speaking about the reality show, it was WA that came in and basically decided the whole thing. I mean, it was once they went Labor, it was all over.
It was pretty much the only state where the predicted swing happened, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the swings elsewhere were pretty marginal, but WA was a genuine red wall. You know, I don't know if that's a McGowan factor or what, but that was sort of, again, yeah, couldn't have been scripted better to sort of leave the big rush of results right to the end.
It was because Scott Morrison said that they lived in caves. Do you remember that?
Oh, the Croods.
That was what it was.
It was the Croods. Yeah, yeah.
No, you can't call a state the Croods to get re-elected.
If you actually look at where the Libs got hammered, the pandemic had a big effect. Like, Frydenberg's loss is not just because of the Teals and the climate stuff.
Mm.
It's because he was seen as a traitor to Victoria at the time and some of the others. And similarly with WA, is they backed Palmer against WA and made all these calls. Like, they really got hammered by their position in the pandemic.
But Charles, why didn't you put that in a tweet, Jeff?
But also, to be fair, the pandemic has killed a lot of coalition voters.
Also, I don't want to distract with actual analysis, but Christina Keneally, I think probably it didn't help her that her seat was the centre of
lockdown
in New South Wales, and Dai Lee was the head of the resistance against the lockdown in New South Wales.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's a fact. That there is a fact.
I assume we'll edit out all this serious analysis.
Yeah, that's right. I note that Dali is a former ABC journalist.
I was in the ABC cadetship intake with Dali. The same year, which would be 1995.
Have you got any gossip to spill about it?
You gonna bring her down?
Well, like Christina Keneally, she's a horrible, horrible person. She's actually very lovely.
She's a lovely person, and it's interesting to see who went further in their journalistic career.
I'm doing a podcast on this Chaser network. She's now an MP.
Well, let's leave this here for today. We'll reconvene tomorrow. We'll just all come back tomorrow. It's not as though we're pre-recording a batch of these in one sitting.
No.
We'll do that. Yeah. Our Gears and Road microphones are part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you tomorrow with, curiously, the same people.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.